T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully today. That was the voice of Tony La Russa post-game, and he is asked about the surprising development last night via social media. Yermín Mercedes, Mr. April, the best story in baseball, probably the first month of the season. As people like to say, he had a better month of April than Mike Trout. He was one of the more valuable offensive players in the game. He came out on fire offensively. I don't want to say carried the White Sox, but he certainly did fill in admirably for Eloy Jimenez. He was a designated hitter, ran into slump, was sent down. And last night surprised a lot of people, going on Instagram, stripping it bare of any White Sox references, Mark Grody, and saying it's over. And then apologizing to, quote, all those who I inadvertently offended as a consequence of my immaturity, like members of the radio, television, and press. To all of the team's members where I was involved with, I'm sorry for failing as a human being and for not accepting some of their decisions. I'm stepping aside from baseball indefinitely. That's cryptic. That seems like there's more to this story. I would caution people from drawing any hard and fast conclusions until we find out if there is, because I do think that that suggests that there's something else here, more than just somebody who has hurt feelings or a bruised ego. And I wonder what's next for Yermín Mercedes. And I don't know that people will want to attach this to Tony La Russa, what he said. I don't think that's entirely fair, but I'm sure people have their thoughts on it. 312-644-6767. Call and share them with us.
You can't. The Tony La Russa thing, I don't like that. If it's still attached to that and a result of it, then the dude is just mentally weak. I mean, you got to get over it. You could be mad at your manager for that. Your ego could be bruised. But if somehow there is some sort of correlation with what has happened with Yermín Mercedes at the plate and mentally and the subsequent being sent down to the minors, and that's just weak on Mercedes's part. It's heavy too, man. Now that I'm like really digging it, I'm sorry for failing as a human being.
Right.
That's heavy, man. There's something going on here. You're right. There's something that we don't know about this. And if you're listening right now, look at me. You don't have to apologize to me. It's okay. As far as I know, you and I have a clean slate. We're all good. I don't know who. If you offended Bruce Levine or somebody on the baseball beat, I don't know, but something more is coming. And as far as the catcher aspect, Tony La Russa mentioned that in the soundbite we just heard coming in, that he's caught in 6 games. There's no way. Like, they might throw Yermín Mercedes in if somehow he does make his way back to the big leagues, like on a, you know, maybe a doubleheader or something like that. I could see him like catching a few innings. But there, look, at this point,
I don't think so.
There's no way that you can't do that at this. But you have too many fickle starting pitchers in that rotation. You don't just put a different. I remember even when Wilson Contreras first started, as good as he is now, none of those Cubs pitchers wanted to deal with Wilson Contreras, because that, when you unwrap a new catcher, that takes time, man.
And that's why, you know, frankly, Sebi Zavala is getting the long look that he's getting because of his ability to be a good receiver, a guy that pitchers do trust. And that is, you know, maybe a sign of the desperation that the White Sox are in at the catching position without Yasmani Grandal. But Zach Collins has a ways to go. I think we were reminded of that last night.
Pass ball.
Yermín Mercedes is somebody that does not necessarily offer a solution to that problem.
No,
what he does is he offer you a bat if you were in need of one. And that's what he offered in April and the beginning of May before the league caught up to him. And so now he needed to adjust, and he never did. And so he went down to AAA. He wasn't failing at AAA. He was hitting, you know, 300 for Charlotte. His OPS was very good. He had the power numbers. So it wasn't as if something must have happened, Mark Grody.
Yeah.
Something must have gone on that we don't know. And you just hope that cooler heads prevail. Somebody has a conversation with him in the organization, whether it's Tony La Russa, Wes Helms is Charlotte manager, Chris Getz, who's in charge of the minor league operations, somebody, Rick Hahn, maybe even, but say, okay, take a couple days, take a break, clear your head, come back motivated, because there might be, baseball's a funny game. You never know. I don't think that Yermín Mercedes fits into this team's plans this year. I don't know that he'll be on the playoff roster, but stranger things have happened.
I've always thought in the back of my head, in thinking about Yermín Mercedes being in the minors, that there might be one, like, you ramp him back up, get him a little bit right, and then he comes up and has like another explosive month at the right time, maybe even in the postseason before the decrescendo occurs again. And I'll say it again. You don't grind until you're 28 to get your first shot in the big leagues and then quit. That ain't happening.
Decrescendo?
You like that?
I do like that.
Yeah, see, there's crescendo. Here's the thing. I played clarinet for 20 years of my life, so every once in a while I'll make music, sheet music
references. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's a dirty little secret about me, that I put from fourth grade through my freshman year in college, I played clarinet. So I've in my mind—
Marching band?
I was in marching band in high school for 4 years.
Awesome.
Yep.
A lot of discipline, a lot of early mornings.
Oh, my God.
Long
yeah.
days.
It's like, you know, there was band camp every day, and we did 2 days back in the day in the 90s. We did 2 days, man. I don't know what these kids do nowadays when they're carrying their tubas and their trumpets and their bass drums around. All I know is I was out there in the heat.
But you were carrying a clarinet. How heavy could that be?
Actually, the funny part is, since I was a dude playing the clarinet, I was typecast and I played the bass clarinet. Seriously. You're like, can you hold this thing? Because nobody else can.
312-644-6767. If you have thoughts on Yermín Mercedes, if you have thoughts on Chris Bryant, whether or not the Cubs should maybe consider shutting him down. They've already identified the fact that he is injured, right? Fatigued hamstring, that's an injury. He missed a game because of an injury. You would not be fudging it if you put him on the injured list because of that hamstring. And why wouldn't you remove him from harm's way potentially before the trade deadline on July 30th if you are hell-bent on trading him the way that it seems?
Because they love playing the ambiguous game. They kind of, like, you heard it in David Ross's comments, like, they like to kind of mess with it. They're never going to admit it, but they're paying more attention to us sometimes than we are to them and what's going on. They know what's out there. So
okay.
I think they kind of enjoy the, we're being transparent, but not really being transparent. I think Jed Hoyer likes that game. I think David Ross likes that game. I mean, come on. They had to know when they put fatigued hamstring. They're like, wait till the media gets a load of this one.
You invite that kind of speculation. You invite that kind of mockery.
They're smart people.
Yes.
They know that. They knew that, okay, what are we going to do with this? Well, let's not say strain, because that would alert the Mets and the other teams that are interested. What if we just say his hamstring is tired? It's sleepy.
And fatigue sounds a little bit more official as a diagnosis.
Yes.
The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That is where we find our buddy Kevin Palatine. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Instead of putting Bryant on the 10-day DL, how about if we put Anthony Rizzo on the 10-day DL with a fatigued brain? Matt Spiegel put out the greatest text ever last night saying, is there anyone in this city playing less inspired, and that is who Wilson Contreras was talking about. So if David Ross is worth his salt and he's fair, if you're going to bench Contreras for opening his mouth and you're going to bench Baez for forgetting how many outs there are, Anthony Rizzo better be super glued to that bench tomorrow. I don't care if it's Wisdom playing first or KB and his sore hammy. Someone else needs to play first tomorrow, because the captain, because you know what I think he was thinking about last night in the 10th inning? Man, am I a really dumb person for not taking $70 million? because he's got about 1 year and $13 million coming to him from the Marlins next year. He needs to be benched for a game or 10 day with a fatigued brain. But I am Anthony Rizzo'd out, my friends. Have a great day.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the phone call. Can always count on you to hold Anthony Rizzo accountable.
I think what Kevin is referring to is if you didn't see it last night, 10th inning, 2-2 tie, Cubs with first and third, nobody out. Ian Happ hits it to short. They get the force at second. Rizzo was at third. He starts to go home, and he gets caught in a rundown, so you have a double play. He stuck around long enough
to allow him.
Yeah, he froze, and then it was kind of a painful-looking rundown.
That's a good way to describe it, Mark Grody. You did the listener some justice there, and this is what Anthony Rizzo had to say after the game when he was asked about it.
I will get to him in a second, but Rizzo... You could see his eyes on, I can't even remember who the runner was at first, allowing that runner to get to second base. So that was the one good thing he did, but it was not a good base running decision. And honestly, Anthony Rizzo usually he's not fast. He's one of the slowest guys on the team, but he's usually a pretty sound base runner.
He's a smart runner, but he knew what happened, and this is what he had to say.
Hey, Riz, what happened on the play at third and the 10th?
I mean, I just got a stand of the double play there, and I did it. It's on me. I was up the middle and I froze and I should have just went right away to stay out of the double play. And I didn't. I messed up. And it was a bad feeling.
You think David Ross reacts in any way in terms of, as Kevin suggested, maybe benching him?
I mean, I think that David Ross has gotten better at separating himself from this team as opposed to last year, but Rizzo is Rizzo. You know what I mean? Like if he does that, then he know. So David Ross is hyper aware of the media, obviously. Or so he wouldn't have gotten mad at Wilson Contreras for speaking out. If he is to bench Anthony Rizzo today, he knows that we'll go crazy over it.
Rizzo is Rizzo, but in the month of July, I think he's got 3 runs batted in. So while Chris Bryant may have a tired hamstring, Anthony Rizzo has a fatigued bat.
No, you're right. I think all I'm saying is maybe he sits somebody he's not going to say or even indicate that it's because of poor play. Unlike saying, yeah, I pulled Javier Baez's ass out of a game because he wasn't paying attention.
Ooh.
I'm mad at Wilson Contreras. He's never going to say that he was mad.
Well, that's wrong then. You should have the same rules for 26 guys.
You know, it doesn't work that way, though.
I know, but it should work that way.
I agree with you. And then The play last night, too. Did you see the one where Wilson Contreras was on third and Baez hits the ball to Arenado? Arenado makes a great play.
Arenado made a great play.
That was just a great play.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That guy is a gymnast at third base.
Totally.
So agile. He could stick the landing. He is definitely a great fielder. Let's squeeze in a phone call. Ty is in the Quad Cities. Hey, Ty.
Hey, morning, Mark. Morning, Dan. How you guys doing?
Morning. Well.
I just had a quick side note, did manage to catch toward the end of the game, obviously the extra innings, but I'm a little not angered, but confused of why we had Kimbrel start the 10th. When I think the whole point is trying to sell, make him look like the god of the bullpen available right now, and we went with a strategy of having him start with that guy in the second base, and obviously, which end up scoring the winning run. Obviously, you want to be able to bet on your closer to shut it down, but at the same time, if we're trying to get a high return for a possible trade, I'd rather have him have the best chance for success.
Oh, so you're saying
that you
would prefer that they would not have extended him because he might get hurt? Is that what I'm getting from
you? He might get hurt, but like I said, he pitched the ninth. He faced one guy.
Yeah.
And got out of it.
There's no.
He's got to start with the go-ahead winning run and scoring position. And instead, like I said, he went from throwing a couple pitches, I think it was like the mid-20s, and I'm like, I understand he's your closer, but I don't want to have him look bad by obviously losing the game last night. I said the runner on second base was not his doing, but I would rather have someone else out there than him.
Thanks, Ty. Appreciate the phone call. Here, 2 things. One, it's fair to question that usage of him last night. I think anytime you deal with an extra inning game, when you use your closer, that's fair game in baseball. The second thing, though, I don't believe you can do anything at this point to damage Craig Kimbrel's trade value short of using him for 2 innings or in an unusual and unorthodox method or manner, because Craig Kimbrel's been lights out all season long, and that's what people are going to trade for.
In terms of just the raw game, there is no pitcher that I would rather have had out there if I'm the Cubs than Craig Kimbrel. I mean, he got Goldschmidt to – to ground, go 6-3 with runners on first and second in the ninth inning. There, who else you want up there facing Yadier Molina in that spot? Molina beat him and beat him badly with a hard drive to right. There's no doubt about it. But who else would you rather have in that predicament or that situation than Craig Kimbrell?
He's Mark Grody. He is in for Mully today, and we are going to do the pick six next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
As we ponder hypothetical and often ridiculous trade scenarios for the Cubs and White Sox, if you could pick one major league player whose name you have heard mentioned in speculation and remove him from potential trades, who would that be for the Cubs and White Sox?
We had a lot of fun yesterday going back and forth about the hypothetical trade with the Cubs and White Sox, Chris Bryant, Andrew Vaughn, and then I got home and I was like, boy, you know, we really went at it for something that is never going to happen. Right. And so I think this is probably, it's fun radio sometimes, but it's a good rule of thumb. You don't necessarily want to go to the mat for something as hypothetical and ridiculous and outlandish as a trade for Chris Bryant for Andrew Vaughn, straight up or whatever it was, because that's just not going to happen. Although it is fun to consider. But if we had to consider these hypotheticals, if I'm the White Sox, I'm not trading Andrew Vaughn.
Here we go again.
I'm not trading Andrew Vaughn because I think that he is one of these guys in the middle of the order that you're going to rely upon. But he isn't the most untouchable to me. For the purpose of this question, Michael Kopech, I would remove him from the equation. That would be a non-starter every time I would hear his name in trade conversations. And on the Cubs side, as tempting as some people would be, I am not trading Wilson Contreras. I am reinvesting in Wilson Contreras. I want to talk contract with him, not trade.
This might sound like a big duh from the Cubs side, but it's Kyle Hendricks, because if Kyle Hendricks does survive the trade deadline and he does survive the offseason, that would be a huge signal to Cubs fans from Jed Hoyer that they expect to be good again sooner than later. And they ain't lying when they say it's not a rebuild, because if Kyle Hendricks is still here and he's under control through 2024, they think he's going to be starting for the next rotation that would, for the Cubs' sake, hopefully be in the postseason and back to some form of sustained success. So I just think that the Kyle Hendricks thing, that will signal that maybe we're not allowed to use the word rebuild, even though if you want to use the word rebuild, you totally and completely can, because essentially it's some form of a rebuild. So it's Kyle Hendricks on the Cubs, and Michael Kopech was mine on the White Sox as well. He's just such a fascinating, and still there is still some mystery behind Michael Kopech, the way that they have used him, coming in clean innings, using him early for two innings, using him in the eighth inning in the Carlos Rodon game recently, and what I still want to know what this is building up to and how they're going to use him in the postseason. But he's going to be around for years. Don't touch Michael Kopech.
Pick six! Wow!
Eddie Goldman plans to report to training camp on time and is eager to get back on the field after opting out last season, the Tribune reported. Do you wonder how eager Goldman really is considering he skipped last month's mandatory minicamp? And is Goldman automatically a starter despite not playing a snap since December 2019?
If Eddie G, as his teammates call him, is there, there's no doubt in my mind he is desirous of playing and going 100%, or he wouldn't show up, because we saw that last year he opted out, as he was completely welcome to do, and I don't think that should be questioned. But Eddie G has made it clear that if he's not going to be there, then there'd be reasons for it. So, yeah, I'm not worried about that. And, yeah, he is absolutely, automatically a starter on that defensive line. We can't go through another year of – because for the last 2 years it's been, well – Akeem Hicks is hurt because he blew up his body in the London game, and so that's why they're not stopping the run. Last year, they're not stopping the run because Eddie Goldman is out. They have to get Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman and Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn together again. And that's the other part, too. All those guys I named, good veterans on the Bears that will keep Eddie G in line.
You going Eddie G there, huh?
Yeah, I got to stop.
You going
to
say, what's up, Eddie G? Give him a fist pump when he comes back, Mark G.
I'm going to stop
G.
right now with the Eddie
All right.
G. I felt good about it, but I think that's
pretty cool.
Yeah,
All right.
yep, I'll stop.
Eddie Goldman, to me, this would be a good debate for another day, but of all the players with something to prove on that defense, he's at the top of my list. He did not show up for the mandatory minicamp. So now, 3 weeks later, I'm supposed to believe he's very motivated and he can't wait for training camp. Doubt it. Because if he shows up, great. He needs to show up. He's got something to prove. He will probably go right back into the starting lineup. They need him more than he needs the Bears, perhaps. But they will welcome him back and he will be a starter. But I do think that that's not enough. He's got to be a standout, not just a starter. And I think he's got to prove something that even though there were legitimate reasons for him missing last year to opt out, he did skip. He did skip a mandatory minicamp. Not voluntary, Mark G. Eddie G skipped a mandatory. Mandatory means required, and he wasn't there, so he's got a lot to prove.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
Bulls star Zach LaVine cleared health and safety protocols and was scheduled to land in Tokyo today to rejoin the Olympic men's basketball team, with NBA Finals participants Chris Middleton, Devin Booker, and Drew Holiday arriving Friday. How interested are you in what role LaVine plays on this team, and how important is it to you that the U.S. team wins gold?
Oh, I think it's very important. They've got to come home with the gold, Mark Grody, because already you're seeing the U.S. women's soccer team. They lost a game last night. There's panic. There's panic now about what's going on at these Olympics. I can't wait to talk to Bobby V, our man in Japan, at 6:40. I hope that Zach LaVine is the third part of the big three. I think that may be asking for a lot, but you got Dame, you've got Kevin Durant, and maybe Zach LaVine emerges as the third scoring option, the guy that could really fill it up. And I hope that he stays healthy. I hope that he arrives safely, and I hope that he plays a major role on the U.S. men's basketball team.
And I know these other countries have definitely caught up with USA basketball because of all the talent that exists internationally, but it doesn't matter. Every Olympics, the Americans should be expected to take home the gold, no doubt about it. One thing that I wouldn't mind Zach LaVine doing while he is there, as you said, yeah, maybe he's a third or fourth scoring option. We know he is a scorer. We know he is volume. We know he could score from anywhere on the court and create his own shot. But how about this? How about really focus on the defense, man? Because he talks about it more than we talk about it, that he wants to be a better defensive player. He wants to be trusted in that regard. He wants the respect. Why not take this opportunity to work on it a little bit?
It's like saying, I wish Adele could dance better. You don't really care.
Adele?
You want people to do what they do.
I know.
As well as they can do it.
I know.
Zach LaVine can score. Fill it up.
Right, but don't you ultimately want him to be, for the Bulls' sake, a better defensive player down the road? I know his trick is scoring. I get it. But he talks about being a better defensive player. Why not use this time to become a better defensive player?
You're not an Adele fan?
I actually like the Adele, but I've never even considered her dancing. And so
you
caught me off guard.
And who considered Zach LaVine playing defense?
Are you a big Adele fan? Is that your weakness right there?
Well, yeah. No, country music is.
Oh, that's right. My weakness, Katy Perry. Thank you.
It's a pick six.
9 minutes, 50 exactly. Okay. Not 51, not 49. Chicken minutes, yes. 50. Large drink, no ice. half Sprite, half lemonade.
Okay.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
That's the voice of Giannis Antetokounmpo from his Instagram account. He was celebrating the Bucks NBA title by ordering 50 chicken minis, little chicken sandwiches, little sliders, at a Chick-fil-A because he can eat anything he wants. Yet Giannis and the Bucks have only the third best chance to win next year's NBA title, according to odds released Wednesday, behind the Nets and Lakers. If you could bet $100 of our operations manager Mitch Rosen's money, would you put it on the Bucks to repeat or someone else? Who would it be? And is that a sign of disrespect for the history the Bucks just made?
Well, if I'm spending Mitch's money, I'm definitely I'm putting it on the Nets. I would not put it on the Bucks.
I'm taking it to Chick-fil-A and yeah, getting as much as possible.
I love Giannis. Is he the best, most humble, relatable superstar? Just everything that he has done since they won in that moment has been fun, and this was a part of that. But I'm not surprised the Bucks aren't favored next year. Mark Grody, I think the Nets have the super team. The Lakers could have a super team. Chris Paul goes to L.A., and all of a sudden they've got LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Chris Paul. Don't be surprised if that happens. So I would put them ahead of the Bucks. That's no disrespect. This was a moment in history. Celebrate it, savor it, because it might not happen again.
It's surprising still that the Bucks got to where they were, that they were able to power through the Eastern Conference when at times, and any Milwaukee Bucks fan will tell you that they were definitely betting against the Bucks to get there. And a lot of people in the media, like there was really not one time even during the regular season when I would talk to NBA experts that they were picking the Bucks. So I agree. Like, I would not pick the Bucks to repeat. It wouldn't be the biggest shocker in the world, but yeah, I mean, there are teams still that are more talented and definitely deeper than Milwaukee Bucks. Everything came together. You have a legitimate superstar in Giannis, but I'm not surprised at all that any of that went down. But I would like some Chick-fil-A at this point. So. God, it's so good.
That is a pick six!
Reports say Texas and Oklahoma could be switching conferences to the SEC in the coming weeks, which forced Texas A&M to reassert its desire to remain the only Texas school in the SEC. While that gets sorted out, should the Big Ten try seizing that uncertainty and pursuing either Texas and Oklahoma, or both of them, as part of an expansion to a mega conference?
I think the Big Ten has to consider any and all possibilities. This is a changing landscape in college athletics. The NIL changes is not the only big offseason, big summer change. This could be seismic in terms of conference alignment and what it means and the dollars available from television and the revenue generated by TV networks, the SEC, and its contract with ESPN. You look at the Big 12 is not maximizing those opportunities as well as the SEC. And the ACC could get involved. The Big Ten has to consider its options. That would be foolish and negligent if they don't. Texas's best option might end up being an independent, and that's what you're going to see as the landscape of the college intercollegiate athletics, as the landscape and the reach of the NCAA changes. This is going to get more uncertain as we move forward, not more structured. So, yeah, you have to be, if you're Kevin Warren in your second season as a commissioner of the Big Ten, open to any and all possibilities.
All right. As a fan of the Big Ten, as I always have been, I would love to see a team like Texas come in. And that's probably not something I would have said 15, 20 years ago, but I want the conference to get more glow. And right now, the only team that gives it that really is Ohio State. That's usually about it. You know, with honorable mention to Michigan, just because they're always interesting. Wisconsin peeks its head up every once in a while. So does Iowa. But we know where
Chicago's Big Ten team would like a word, Mark.
Yeah,
Grody.
I know that. Well, okay. Yeah, I'll give it to Fitz. Go Cats. But I like the idea of a powerhouse like that in Texas, and they've obviously had their down years. But I would like that sort of glow for the Big Ten. So I'm down with your mega conference.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
Blackhawks GM Stan Bowman will address reporters today via Zoom before Friday's NHL draft. But the biggest story remains the lawsuit filed against the Hawks, alleging they did nothing to stop accused sexual predator and former video coach Brad Aldridge. Do you expect Bowman to acknowledge the situation today? And do you care about anything else he might have to say?
I think he'll do. Yes, he's going to have to be prepared for that. Those questions will be asked. I trust the Blackhawks beat guys that they have a responsibility to ask those questions. But Stan Bowman will have some sort of prepared answer. I'll never forget when they put it was Patrick Kane, who I think it was a game at Notre Dame. I want to say. That they
the South Bend press conference,
the South Bend press conference, where every answer was thank you for the question,
right?
But he'll have one Stan will have one statement for maybe he'll go off script a little bit, but I think that mostly it'll be very frustrating because unfortunately the Blackhawks have made this a big time lawyer game at this point, and there are things that Stan Bowman can just say that's out of my league, I don't understand. That is in the hands of the law. That is not something I can comment. It's going to be easy for Stan Bowman to say
this. This won't be that because that was the worst press conference in Blackhawk history.
Thank you for
in South
question.
Bend. I was front and center for that and remember it well. I hope that Stan Bowman today acknowledges how serious of an allegation and allegations these are and that the Blackhawks as an organization are fully cooperating.
They have, though. They did that already.
Well, they need to go a little bit further, Mark Grody. They need to say that they're fully cooperating with an independent investigation and they're willing to go as far as they need to hold people accountable if they were, in fact, contributing to this. I don't think they will go that far. I don't think that he will say that much. I think that he will lawyer up, if you will, and he'll say just enough to acknowledge it without going deeply into it. And I think they need to go deeper into it at some point in time. Maybe that's not today. Maybe today he'll get a question about what Duncan Keith trade, what that trade means to the future of the Blackhawks. That's more likely to be the ground that he covers. Nobody cares who they're drafting 11th in the draft tomorrow night. But I kind of am curious, but I think before you get to the hockey stuff, you need to address some of this other stuff. That is the Pick Six. Mark Grody is in for Mike Mulligan today. And next, we will go to our man in Japan, Bob Vassilopoulos. Bobby V for NBC Sports. He is the man on the ground producing for NBC. He's going to be who we go to ask questions about the U.S. men's basketball team. That's coming up. Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We're understanding what coach wants from us on both ends of the floor. I feel like guys get more comfortable with each other and their roles on the team, and that's only going to go well for us as we start to play real games. So it was good to kind of get a punch in the mouth early on to remind us that this is not going to be a cakewalk. And, you know, so many people are used to Team USA coming in and blowing everybody else. So it was good for us to see that. And hopefully those are the last losses.
Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully today. And it's time now to go out to the Home Run Inn hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. And that was the voice you heard of Kevin Durant in Tokyo talking about the U.S. men's basketball team. And we are now going to our man in Japan, Bob Vassilopoulos, the NBC Sports producer, longtime Chicago guy. Bobby V, how are you?
David, how are you? Mark, Ohio Guzamas. Good morning from Japan, where it's sometime late at night here. Not late at night, but 8-something and... I just saw Kevin Durant. They were trying to get their credentials going into the building just a few hours ago, and they looked like they had a pretty good workout going on. I guess good news that Zach LaVine's going to be on a plane coming out here, along with three guys that just played in the NBA Finals that are going to be coming out, leaving on Friday. I spoke to Steve Kerr, who's the assistant coach, and so they should be loaded. How you know beat those guys are going to be from the plane ride, I could tell you it's been a miserable turn around for me. I mean, you get up, you sleep, you know, you flop at six, you sleep for 8 hours. The next thing you need to get up and, you know, you've got 8 hours to go, you know, before you have to go do something. So we're really backwards.
So Bobby V,
hopefully those guys come ready to go.
How would you describe the challenges you face logistically and otherwise, not only adjusting to the time difference, but just what the scene is like in Tokyo? I have seen obviously social media reports. We have read about the COVID concerns, 91 people affiliated with the Olympics testing positive. How would you describe what's going on there?
Intense. We leave the hotel. We have to sign a sheet, tell them where we're going because it's work they give us a pass and they allow it. If it were to be something, you know, where you wanted to go get something to eat, you'd have 15 minutes to get back. Otherwise, then you'd be reported and then have to explain, you know, why you took more than 15 minutes to go somewhere. I have tested 7 times since being here. We test every day because we have contact, you know, within a couple of meters of athletes. Mask wearing is mandatory. I happened to drop my mask to talk to Steve Kerr this evening, and somebody came, tapped me on the shoulder and said, put your mask back on. You know, so the intensity, the focus is clearly there. And so they're worried about it, and they're trying to do everything they can to keep people healthy and keep these athletes healthy and have a successful games, you know, for what they are, which is, you know, fanless.
Bobby, great to hear your voice, man. I'm already looking forward to seeing you on a Bears sideline soon or somewhere in the NFL this year, my friend. But how big of a deal has this Olympics been, and the COVID story, or just the Olympics in general, with the Tokyo media in terms of opinion makers, and how big of a deal is it for them?
Well, Mark, you know, it's funny you mentioned Bears games. I mean, it breaks my heart when I drove in here and saw how clean the city is and how ready it was, and that it's going to be, yeah, it'll be a TV audience, but it won't be full stadiums. And, you know, I remember, you know, us walking around an empty Soldier Field watching a football game and how surreal that was.
Yep.
We are going to be in a place called the Saitama Super Arena, and it's a massive building, and it gleams. It's just beautiful. And there's just going to be the athletes and some journalists and none of the atmosphere. And, you know, as I told these guys last week, I mean, that's just the thing that it's hard for me to, you know, just how these guys are going to be able to just get their energy. You know, we know what it was like at those Bear games. You know, it was just bizarre. Mm-hmm. And I think that's similar to what we're going to witness, you know, here in the next few weeks.
Talking with Bob Vassilopoulos, our man in Japan, the producer extraordinaire over in Tokyo covering the Olympics. Bobby V, what was your reaction to the head of the organizing committee during a news conference, I believe, saying that there still was a chance at the 11th hour these games might not take place and they might be canceled?
Chilling. And that was just, you know, personal opinion. I have, you know, I'm not expressing it for anybody, but you know, you hear that and you wonder, well, why would you even say that if it, you know, is it crossed his mind? Is it something they're thinking about? I think it's too far gone at this point, David. I think it would be just an absolute, you know, it'd be chaos. If all of a sudden you say it's over, now everybody's got to leave. How are you going to get everybody out of here at one time? You know, I mean, that's the thing. The Americans just flew in the U.S. basketball team with the women, the men's and women's team on a 747. You know, are they going to pack them all up and send them all back? You know, journalists, everything else. I just think that they're going to grin and bear it. And if, you know, all of a sudden something breaks out, maybe they cancel an event. Maybe they don't do, you know, something. I'm not speaking on any authority. It's just, you know, what we talked about last week. What happens if it breaks out? I think they're going to feel their way as it goes along. And this is new territory for all of them. You know, Steve Kerr just told me, says it's strange to be sitting here seeing everything splashed, you know, Tokyo 2020, and it's 2021. It speaks to the, you know, the changes that we've all gone through, you know, how bizarre it is, you know. And so it's a little unnerving to hear that. Toyota pulled out, a big sponsor here, you know, of advertising, because they didn't want to be associated with it. You know, pride and you know, how things are perceived are a big deal here in Japan.
Didn't want to be associated with it because they feel like they shouldn't be going through with the games because of the pandemic?
Yeah, there's a tremendous, you know, it's no secret that the people of Japan did not want to see this go through. You know, they were afraid. Their numbers are relatively low, although they were 1,800, which is the highest, I think, in 6 months yesterday. It concerns them. You know, they've tried to do the right thing. They mask up here. You don't see anybody without a mask.
Wow.
People keep their distance. I look out the window at the train station, and it's just like there's like blocks between people. You know, it's just like you could see the separation, and they're honoring it. You know, nobody crowds it. Nobody forces the issue. And I think when they looked at this and said, okay, now you're introducing all these people, it's caused them to, be a little cautious and more than a little cautious. And the polling is just saying that this is a tough thing for them to bring into the country. So we cross our fingers, man. I mean, I just it's one of those things that none of us have experienced before.
Bobby, before we let you go, so the basketball is what you're there for. What is the next practice? What is the first game? What is next as you cover this U.S. men's basketball team?
Well, talking to Steve Kerr is funny. We were talking about the international players and, you know, that the USA team lost twice. He says, you know, 92 really triggered an international love of basketball, the dream team. And he says, you know, where we would have had a couple of guys in the NBA, now we've got over 100. Last two MVPs have been, you know, foreign-born players. Obviously, look at what Giannis did the other night. So they know that this has become an international game, and on any given night, it could be like they're playing, you know, Portland or something on a Wednesday with a bunch of guys that he knows. So there's going to they foresee intense games with a lot of guys that know each other. That, you know, have been, you know, Nigerians have, what is it, 8 NBA players, the Australians. I think it's going to be a great tournament. It really will. You know, and they're going to be pressed. There's no question about it.
Thanks so much for jumping on. Stay safe and have a great opening ceremonies tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. And I had a cheeseburger today in honor of our friend Mercedes. I really am sorry to see that he's given it up. What a fall from grace, for sure.
That's great. They're taking it off the menu, Bob. What are we going to do about that?
Yeah. Didn't they change it to the?
Doesn't
the burger on the White Sox? Isn't it his burger now? It's the Jake burger now.
Oh my!
Yeah.
That's tough.
Can I just tell you, the biggest kick I got is listening to the games on satellite radio, and I just listen to every pitch, and it's coming out of my pocket. And some guy said, what are you listening to? I said, baseball game. Baseball. Where are the basketball arena? I said, well, that's what I want to listen to. So,
okay, Bob.
Thanks, guys.
You opened the door, though. How are the cheeseburgers in Japan?
Yeah, man.
It was pretty good, actually. We've got some London cooks that this guy, and he's, first thing you do is you make friends with the cook. Hey, Bob,
of
we've got
course.
The cheeseburgers on today. I said, perfect, man. I love you. You know, and it was great. It was really good. So I was happy for that.
Well, thanks a lot. Have a great time.
Right,
and we'll be talking to you again. Our man in Japan, Bob Vassilopoulos, checking in from Tokyo. Very interesting stuff.
Love Bob, man. Good dude. The chaos is a great word. He's right. Like, if they had to turn this thing around and get everybody the hell out, it would be chaos. But it sounds like the people of Japan would be okay with that.
Hopefully, they get off without a hitch. Hopefully, everyone stays safe. And hopefully, Zach LaVine, who is on his way, according to reports, arrives safely and contributes in a big way to the U.S. men's basketball team. We are going to shift gears, Mark Grody. We're going to go back to baseball. What do you think about the Yermín Mercedes situation? Is there more than meets the eye? And should the Cubs shut down Chris Bryant if they are, in fact, committed to trading him? 312-644-6767. What do you think? Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.